Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Alrighty, welcome back in. Hour number three of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Let's go out to the guest line right now. Welcome in former NFL General Manager Doug Gwaley, who is kind enough to join us right now. Doug, appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much for doing this, and how you been?
I've been great, Zach. I mean, it's that downtime in the NFL, but doesn't seem like there's going to be any downtime this year. This offseason, even in July, when most people are supposed to be on vacation, seems like there's a flurry of activity.
Yeah, usually when we see trades in the NFL, it's a player for a pick. Yesterday, I know there were picks involved, but we saw Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith departing the Miami Dolphins, going to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Minkah Fitzpatrick going back once again to the Miami Dolphins. What did you make of that trade when it did go down yesterday?
Well, first of all, I think it's the timing was very inquisitive, but it shows that Omar Khan and the Pittsburgh Steelers aren't your father's or grandfather's Pittsburgh Steelers. They are going to be very aggressive. And with the signing of Aaron Rodgers, I think they are going to go all in and make a serious push to be a contender in the AFC, and especially in the AFC North. Now, will they be able to overtake the top of the hill with Kansas City, Buffalo, and even Baltimore and Cincinnati in their division? I don't know, but they are making a concerted effort. The thing I really like about it is they're loading up, but they aren't sacrificing for the future. They have 12 picks for next year's draft, so they have flexibility if this doesn't work out to stock up with some young players and, more importantly, hopefully find their quarterback of the future.
Are you confident? I know what you just said about them potentially being a contender. They haven't won a playoff game, the Pittsburgh Steelers, since the 2016 season. Are you confident that they'll win a playoff game this year?
I'm not. I'm definitely not. I just, like I said, in my opinion, when you look at who they have, and AFC in general, but even the AFC North, with all these moves, they are still, I think, the third best team in the AFC North. So when you look at it, they're going to be a wild card team, and they're going to have to play maybe a Denver or LA Chargers. So they're going to have to really punch up. But I will give them credit. They're not tucking their tails between their legs and saying, we're not in a position to make that jump. But they're saying, we may not be there, but we're going to give our effort to get there by signing some really accomplished veterans while still holding on to about 12 draft picks for next year to build for the future.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You're right, Doug Gwaley. They have been aggressive, but they still haven't got the deal done with TJ Watt. All this speculation pops up in the last 24 to 48 hours. You know, maybe TJ Watt will try to force his way out. Maybe the Steelers will entertain some trade offers for him. Obviously, nothing set in stone there, nothing really of clarity. How do you think they're going to approach this TJ Watt situation?
Zach, I'll tell you, it's great for us in the media because we have something to talk about. But if you look at the history of marquee players in the Pittsburgh Steelers history organization, a lot of them, from Troy Polamalu to on down, sign either the day before the first game, or Troy actually signed walking on the flight. This is going to get done. They just take a while. And what I always say, the best thing to get a deal done is a deadline. And the Steelers always have a deadline of not negotiating during the season. So when that first week starts is the deadline, and you'll see, just like TJ's last extension, it happened the day before they went for the first game. So it's going to happen. It's a long, drawn-out process. This is something that the Steelers haven't evolved. They've evolved in a lot of ways they do business, but this is one of the foundational pieces that they haven't evolved in, and they aren't going to negotiate during the season, but this will get done right before the season.
Why do you think it's taken so long up until this point? Because I look at it from afar. Myles Garrett is his biggest nemesis. Myles Garrett's getting $40 million a year. So you think you'd either have to match that or just slightly top it. It seems like this should be pretty easy to get taken care of.
I think the biggest hang up from what we're hearing, and I'm not in the negotiation, is really the length of the deal and the terms. I think the number, everybody knows that he's going to have to surpass Myles Garrett. Now, the tricky part is, what if Parsons gets done? Is he going to want more than Parsons, or is he just looking at Myles Garrett saying, Parsons younger, I don't care about Parsons, I just want to get more than Myles Garrett? I don't know that, and that's the nuances of it that none of us know. But in my opinion, and what we're hearing, is the length. And I can understand the Steelers are like, hey, this guy's 30, 31. And in my opinion, they have, I think, second or third most cap space next year. Why not front load that deal? Give him 2 years, make him $50 million a year. Who cares? But front load it, but have the option after year three and four that you can get out from under that deal. And everybody wins that way. He gets that most money up front in the first 2 years. And then after that, so many guys will surpass him, it won't even be an issue.
Doug Whaley here with us right now. If they did say, and I'm still of the line of thinking with you, if I was him, I would leave Pittsburgh. I would go somewhere else. But I think he is going to be back with the Steelers. I think they're going to get this contract done right before the start of the season. But if it gets to the point where he goes, I'm out, and the Steelers go, okay, we'll at least listen to offers. Well, what do you think the potential return would be in a trade to send TJ Watt to another Super Bowl contender?
I think it would start with a first. Where it gets tricky is his age and having to sign him. So you're looking at a team that's going to have the cap space, but more importantly, an owner with the cash to be able to really ink the deal. But then you're also going to give up draft capital. So I think it's going to be a first and maybe a third. I wouldn't see two firsts just because of the age and him holding out and wanting a top dollar contract.
When we get to the other part of this deal, the Miami Dolphins, right? Everyone loved Mike McDaniel from the start. Last year, they really missed Tua Tagovailoa in that stretch when he got hurt. There's been a lot of changes in Miami, but McDaniel and Greer are still there. Obviously, Tua's the quarterback. You got Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. What are your expectations for them this season? Because it's looking like they're going to miss the playoffs once again, in my opinion.
I can't argue with you. I look at it as there's that saying, it starts at the top, and the coach and the team really takes on the persona of the coach. They're an intelligent team based on speed, but when it gets to single elimination football or down the stretch in December, when you got to be playing physical, tough football, that's a team that just isn't built for that. They're built for speed. And if you get into those divisional games against Buffalo, when they're really trying to set the tempo by rushing, Miami just doesn't have an answer for that. And there's a saying that you can throw to score points, but you have to run to win games. And I just don't see that physicality in that team. And again, nothing against Mike McDaniel, but he's not that type of coach. He's not a physically imposing coach that wants to win with physicality.
I think one of the greatest questions entering this season, Doug Whaley, is what is J.J. McCarthy going to look like first year as a starter in Minnesota? What do you think and what are your expectations for J.J. with his first true year as a starter there?
Well, with any rookie, you're going to have some ups and downs. But I truly believe with the system that they have and the skill positions around him, he's going to be a serviceable start win quarterback for them. I think he's not going to be the reason why they win, but he will be a part of the reason why they win. He's not going to be able to put a team on his back and say, hey, listen, we're down by two scores. It's the fourth quarter. We got 7 minutes and one timeout left. Let me lead them to victory. But what he's going to do is put the ball in the position in the hands of his playmakers and stay out of behind the sticks and not turn the ball over. So I think he's going to be serviceable. And they're going to be someone to contention. I just don't think this early that he'll be able to, like I said, put them on their back and take them to where they need to go.
Yeah, I'll also be curious, and it's always everyone handles young quarterbacks differently. But you look at the Giants, they have not only Russell Wilson there, they also have Jameis Winston, and then they moved up back into the first round to go get Jackson Dart. I'm living here in New York. I know how this works. If the Giants lose a few games and the Giants lose a ton of games this year, people are going to want to see the youngster play. How patient do you think the Giants are going to be when it comes to holding off on getting Jackson Dart onto the field?
I think it's going to be a quick hook, especially with Russell Wilson, the way he ended his last five games here at Pittsburgh. He was on a five-game losing streak. So to me, especially with that regime being on the hot seat, if they have run into some trouble real quick, they're going to give them that put Dart in my opinion, and they should, because if he shows any promise, then ownership will be like, well, wait a minute, why am I going to saddle this new young quarterback with a new OC, new head coach? Let's start getting traction instead of spinning our tires.
All righty, let me just look at the AFC real quickly. We know the Chiefs have been the standard for the last half decade, if not more than that, in the AFC. Entering this season, with all the moves that have been made this offseason, who would you still say is the biggest challenger to the Chiefs in the AFC?
For me, I look at one position, it's quarterback. And the one quarterback I've seen that can out-duel Patrick Mahomes and has done it often is Joe Burrow. Now, everybody's going to like the Bengals, they stink and everything. If they can stay healthy and they can fix that defense, and I'm not saying fix it as in being a top five defense, they can be a top 12 defense, and Joe Burrow with those weapons around him, and he's Joe Cool just comes in and he says, yeah, Patrick Mahomes, I tip my hat to you and I respect you, but I know how to beat you and I'm not going to be intimidated. So for me, it's Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow.
Do you think the Bills and the Ravens have missed their window? Just wondering with how close that they've been, but not being able to get over that Mahomes mountain.
I think Baltimore still has a chance. The thing that I struggle with in Buffalo is when everything's scripted, that team seems to be okay. But when there it comes down to a fourth quarter where they have to make either an important play or an important decision by the coach, they always seem to dribble down their leg. So to me, Buffalo will always just hit that proverbial ceiling, and they can be the Charles Barkley to the Michael Jordan, unfortunately for Josh Allen, because he's an incredible talent. Baltimore, though, I think because of the construction of their entire roster, they still may be able to get over that hump. I don't think consistently, but I think one time in the next two or three years, they might be able to get it done.
And you put most of that in Buffalo. Is that on McDermott? Is that the way that you're saying it?
I think so. I mean, because if you look at every time it came down to crunch situations late in the game where he had to make a decision that was not on his script, something always went wrong. Either a bad play, a bad call, 13 seconds not kicking it, or kicking it like they did. That's where those things, those pressure situations, because he is a very, very good coach. There's no doubt about it. When he can plan for things, but when things are just pop up and he's got to make a quick decision, those are the times that he seems to struggle.
Wrap it up with Doug Whaley. I asked you the same thing in the NFC. Eagles were the best team in football last year. They defeated the Kansas City Chiefs and blew them out in the Super Bowl. As we enter this season, who do you think is the biggest challenger to the Eagles in the NFC?
I'm going to have to look at Washington. I mean, if Jaden Daniels can make that second year jump, because his rookie year was phenomenal. And you always say you want to see a second year, that jump from year one to year two. And if he can make that, especially at that position and what they did and the confidence they have from last year, I think the Commanders are going to be a team to not only battle for NFC East, but battle for NFC supremacy.
He's Doug Whaley. Doug, we always appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this. Good to catch back up with you.
No doubt. Thanks, Zach. Enjoy the rest of your summer.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.